Pam and I are thrilled to be with you at Eaglemont Christian Church, and they don't let us out with the choir very often, so I have to be on my best behavior this morning. We're delighted to be here with you, and it's lovely to be with Pastor Joel, Pastor Marlo, Pastor Jeff. We have history with all three of these men, and most of it is good history. Pastor Marlo, that beard, all the way back from Costa Rica, I was looking at it, it looked like Santa Claus or not, but there's a little bit of colors coming through there, richness of color. So thanks, students, and thank you, Dr. Paulson, this morning for a great ministry. And it's just good to be with you here this morning. We like to call Eaglemont Christian Church the satellite campus of Vanguard College because there's so many of you young adults with us. So they're all there, resting before the Lord. It's all good. It's official today, 25 shopping days left until Christmas, including today. Not that you would shop on the Lord's Day. But it does count because the stores are open. Now, perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned that because for some of you, you've gone from a moment of inspiration and worship to pressure because you're carrying around mentally or on your electronic device or on a piece of paper at home some things to do list of things you need to do before Christmas arrives. But it is 25 official days of shopping before it takes place. The choir in that last song says, do you hear, do you see certain things? And with 25 shopping days left, there are some things that I've been noticing and seeing for a while and some things I've been hearing. Probably late in October, Costco had the trees out already. It's always a little jarring. October, there are the Christmas trees in the aisles at Costco. You hear the Christmas songs being sung in the stores and the malls now nonstop wherever you go. Santa Claus are appearing in malls everywhere, some looking more like Santa Claus than others. There's nothing like a sketchy, cheap version of Santa Claus in a mall to make you just, I know it's not about him, but just it kind of makes you feel a little uncomfortable at times. There's the onslaught of cheesy Christmas flicks that have begun about November the 12th on some specialty channels. And you can, any time of the day, you can see some Christmas flick out there. We watch a fair bit of them in our house. I make my wife watch them with me. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Lights are beginning to come on in neighborhoods, on houses. Walking the dog at nights, I'm beginning to see lit trees in the front windows of some of the homes in our neighborhood. I hear people talking about travel arrangements. When people are traveling home, students returning home for Christmas, all those wonderful things. So I'm hearing and seeing all kinds of details that have to do with this thing called Christmas. In our culture, our society, our world is so caught up in the event of Christmas. They're so caught up in the event of Christmas. Now, just for reference, I think we all know it, but event simply means a thing that happens. And so our world is all caught up in this thing that we call Christmas. People are anticipating it. People are preparing for it. The reality is in our world, for some people, they dread it. Because Christmas doesn't have always all the wonderful memories that perhaps other families have. So wherever you are, there's a range of emotions as people are anticipating this event. And along the way to this event that we call Christmas, there are other events that take place. And so heard about your next presentation next Sunday, a great chance to share the gospel through the Christmas story. Last night, Vanguard, we had our Christmas banquet, and it's always amazing how nicely students can dress up for that event. It's like, you, who are you? What's your name? I won't point at anyone in particular. There will be special music events, Christmas plays that take place in different venues. The Christmas carols coming to the Citadel in Edmonton again. On a broader scale, the events around this event are things we've just survived Black Friday, which is becoming this Canadian worldwide phenomenon, not just the States, where people fight over some great deal. Some people are anticipating 12:01 when Cyber Monday begins, and you'll be online shopping for something, Pastor Jeff. I'm responsible for you, eh? That just made me proud and sent a cold shiver down my spine earlier this morning, but I'm mostly proud. So Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and of course we all will come and worship on Boxing Day eventually. Deep These events are supposed to save us all kinds of money. Deep discounts. I heard a mother, they were talking about this on the radio on CBC this weekend about Black Friday, and they read an email that a mother in the Edmonton area sent to all of her adult children. And the email said basically this: you all have TVs that work. So if you buy a $2,000 system for $1,500, you have not saved $500. You've spent $1,500. Now, beautiful. I'm going, word. But my fear is that for so many in our world, Christmas has just, it's become just an event. Just an event. So with that in mind, 25 days to Christmas. Do you know what today is? Sunday, yes. November 30th, yes. Grey Cup Sunday, where Pastor Joel's pride will be tested. Win or lose, his pride will be tested. He's praying for the win. But today is actually the first day of Advent. So in liturgical church circles, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas mark the season of Advent. And so technically, this Sunday morning, the 30th of November, is the first Sunday of Advent. And while we define event as being a thing that happens, Advent's definition is slightly different. Advent means the arrival of a notable person or thing. And there's a world of a difference. A world of a difference. I want to turn your attention to John chapter 1 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. And just part of chapter 1 will be our focus this morning as we walk through this in just a moment. When it comes to the Christmas story, Matthew and Luke are the gospel writers that give us the narrative details. They tell us about the star and the shepherds and the angels and Joseph and Mary and ending up at the stable in Bethlehem. They tell us the narrative, all those storylines that we know so well and are familiar with. In Mark's gospel, one of my favorite gospels, I don't know why. My first name is Mark, just in case you didn't. Once again, I attempt a joke and it just... Mark doesn't give us any details about Christmas. He just starts with Jesus in ministry mode. And then we come to the Gospel of John, and we're so familiar with how it begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John doesn't take time to tell us any of the stories of the narrative. But John goes and begins to tell us the backdrop, the significance of this Advent, this arrival of someone notable or something notable. And I want to read specifically John chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 9. And for my hermeneutic students, I know I'm ending at the beginning of a paragraph and not all the way through. Please forgive me this morning. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Was coming into the world. That's where Advent comes from. This arrival of someone notable. He was coming into the world. John says something is about to happen. And so this was the beginning of the kingdom of God being fulfilled through Jesus Christ. John begins, it feels very much like Genesis, in the beginning when you read those first five verses. And then now we come to this passage. And John says someone was coming into the world. The light was coming into the world. The Jewish people for generations had been anticipating. Forget 25 days, friends. For generations, they've been anticipating the promise of a Messiah, of a deliverer. True, they didn't truly understand what he would look like. And when he arrived, many did not accept him or receive him or acknowledge him. But they've been waiting for the arrival of one. And now John simply says, this one was coming into the world. Someone notable was coming into the world. And John says, the true light was coming into the world. The true light, not just any light. Listen, one of my favorite things this time of year, I love Christmas lights. I really do. I'm not really big on the candy cane version or the Griswold Christmas light show of your house, but I love Christmas lights. I love how they glow in the dark. I'm a morning guy, and starting today, first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I go downstairs, I plug in the lights in the tree, and that soft glow just begins to dispel the darkness in our house. Not just any light, but John says the true light was coming into the world. The true light was coming into the world. John, we've got two Johns here in this passage. We're describing John the Baptist, but it's being written by John the Beloved. And John, later on in his gospel, he quotes Jesus, who on one occasion self-identifies him as being the light of the world. So the Advent was the light coming into the world, the true light, not just any kind of a light, but the true light coming into the world. He also says, not only is it the true light that comes into the world, but he says, this light which comes into the world enlightens everyone. Enlightens everyone. This light shines to enlighten everyone around. This light coming has the potential to change and impact an entire world. Professor Paulson talked about wanting to reach this next generation and trying to impact our culture. John says this light that was coming is the true light, and the light that has the capacity, the potential to enlighten the entire world. It's also notable because not only is it the true light enlightening everybody, but he also says it a little bit differently. He says that all might believe through him. That all might believe through him. John goes on to say that he was in the world, not the whole world came and responded to him, but as many as responded to him, as many who believed in him, as many who received this light, he gave the privilege to become children of God. Oh, we throw that phrase away, but to become children of God. No longer estranged, no longer separated by my sin and my selfishness, but I have a chance to be a child of God in proper and true relationship with the living God. All because the light was coming into the world. Later on in the same passage, we know the word so well. John says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The one who was coming, this true light of the world came. He became one of us. He moved into the neighborhood that we might see what God looks like, full of grace and truth. So it's not just an event. Oh, it's good to have our events in the church, but it's not just an event. It's the Advent. It's the arrival of someone notable. It's the arrival of the one who is the true light of the world, the one who comes and gives light to all those in darkness, the one through whom, if we believe, we become children of God, reconciled to him yet once again, the way he meant us to be. So this is the Advent. In this season, as a church, forget letting culture and the economy drive the agenda. We need to allow the Word of God and God's provision and His purpose for us to drive the agenda. In this season, we begin to prepare ourselves. We begin to reflect, remember, rejoice in the reality of the Advent, the one who's the true light coming into our world. There's really three words that, if you remember these three words, it'll be kind of the frame for everything we say this morning. An event, the way the world sees it. The Advent, which is what God intended it to be. And the third word would be advertisement. So I don't want to clutter up your stage, but in the last 2 days, 3 days. This is what's filled our mailbox at our house. Black Friday, Christmas, even Sobeys has got some nice Christmas detail on their flyer because, you know, nothing like giving a ham at Christmas time. Oh, three people caught that joke. Isn't it mind-numbing how much of their money they spend to convince me to spend my money? So I'm sure my mailbox is not all that different from yours, but they come and they keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming. All these advertisements for how I can have a Merry Christmas and how I can buy just the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy person. Because, you know, man, your wife just loves, she's got her eye on that latest power tool. You do know that, husbands. She may not say that, but she'll be thrilled. The look on her face on Christmas morning will be unimaginable as she opens that power tool. But these advertisements, they keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming, trying to help us, trying to point us in the right direction, trying to save us money. An event is a thing that happens. The advent is the coming of one who's notable. The advertisement is just the notice of a product, service, or an event. I'd like to make it the announcement of a coming advent. So you go back to verse 6, and I just love the simplicity of how this begins. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. A man named John. Again, we've got two Johnny B's, Johnny the Baptist and Johnny the Beloved. And Johnny the Beloved is writing about Johnny the Baptist. There's a man sent from God. Sent from God. The Vanguard Choir has been sent to you by Vanguard to minister, to serve, to let you know about the school, the programs, the opportunities. We've got some students, some pastoral students who are up in Rochester this morning at a church plant that's led by one of our alumni, and they've been sent out from Vanguard to represent Vanguard, to say thank you for supporting us, thank you for your prayers, your interest, thank you for sending your young adults, keep sending them. They will turn into people like Pastor Marlowe and Pastor Jeff. We can't take credit for Pastor Joel, but he's a good guy too. He just didn't know the one true God back then and didn't go to our school. Did I say that out loud, Pastor Joel? I'm sorry. Sometimes I have a filter. It's the Holy Spirit and the voice of my wife, Pam, and I missed both of those filters that point in time. So here's this guy, John the Baptist. Again, typical of John. He doesn't tell us details. You go to Matthew, you find that John is this guy out in the wilderness. He's kind of a wild and woolly looking guy. He's got a strange wardrobe and a really strange diet. But he's out there in the wilderness and he's telling people about sin and how they need to repent. But he's also saying there's another one coming. There's another one coming who can deal with all of your sin. He can deal with all of your shortcomings. There's another one coming. In fact, he himself refers to the prophet Isaiah and saying, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord. So we got a guy named John who is sent by God. He's a voice out there, and he's just pointing people towards the one who's going to come. John says he came as a witness. Such a simple thing to do. A witness just tells somebody else what they saw. That's it. John was not the main show. He was just a witness. He was not the light. He just came to be a witness of the light. He came as a witness. A witness tells what they know, what they've seen, what they've heard. John, a man sent by God just to be a witness. It's the same word that Jesus passes on to the disciples and to all of us, not just those who are there in the room, but he says, you will be my witnesses. You will not be Billy Graham's. You don't have to be Pastor Marlowe's, but you'll be my witness. You'll just tell somebody else what you know, what you've seen, what you've heard. John was a man sent by God, and he came as a witness. And then John says he came to bear witness, from the noun to the verb. The truth is, we are all called to be a witness. The question is, where will we actually act on that and begin to bear witness? So John was a witness. He knew who was to come. And he doesn't settle on this knowledge, but he goes beyond to actually begin to act on it. He bears witness. He begins to tell other people. And then John says it again. He combines it all to bear witness. And he came to bear witness, in case you didn't catch it the first time. A voice crying in the wilderness, pointing towards the advent that would bring light into all the world. So some of these advertisements, some amazing deals. I'll circle some for you, Pam, just if that helps. Some wonderful deals. And of course, with Black Friday, aren't they so benevolent? They want to save us money. So kind of them. I mean, saving 40% is good. I'd prefer to save 60%. Just saying. But all these advertisements are helping us to save a percentage of our money, of our income, as we buy that next wonderful gift. What about the light who wants to save the whole world? The true light was coming to the world not to save 40%, not to save 60%. But he will save 100% of all those who receive him. So where are you and I this morning on Advent Sunday? I'll invite the choir to come back. They're going to sing one more song and point us towards the one who's come. They'll ask us the question, make the statement, I want to see the man. I want to see not John. I want to see the man who came to save us. Here's my suggestion for how you and I need to respond on this first Sunday of Advent. Couple ways, I guess. There may be some here this morning, and I don't know, because I'm new to most of you. I don't know, and I would never want to take an assumption. But some of you may be somewhere along your faith journey where you know about Jesus, you know about some of the stuff, but you haven't crossed the faith line yet. You haven't kind of made a decision. I'd like to remind you that the Advent is about the one who is notable, who came into this world. And if you believe in him, if you receive him, you can have light in your life. The dark shadows will be pushed away. Sin and all of its shame and all of its hindrance will be just, it'll be removed from you. And the Bible says you can be saved. Not 40%, not 60%. But 100% saved, forgiven. Wow. It's an incredible gift that he comes to give us. So I'm going to pause before I finish speaking. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you're on that journey and you haven't crossed the faith line, oh, this would be a great year to begin on the first Sunday of Advent, to receive the one who's come into our world. Just close your eyes for a moment. Let me just pray. Father, you know every heart in this place. I don't. And Lord, I know the nature and the heart of this church. And so I know there are people who are coming alongside and feeling the warmth of this community, but they may not know, they may not have crossed that line. They may not have opened themselves to the full gift of Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just make this real to them this morning. They don't have to wait till the 25th. But even this morning, they've already begun to experience the light shining into their life. Light from this place, light from friends and family. It's been penetrating their lives, and they're beginning to see it dawn upon them. Oh, may it be that some this morning would just open their lives and the light will come and shine. Shine, Lord Jesus, in every heart in this place. For every heart in this place. Lord, may they find themselves speaking to somebody after the service, a pastor, a friend, and to say, this morning I'm opening my life to this light, this advent, this incredible, notable arrival that changes everything. I ask that in Christ's name. For the majority of us, I would presume, in this place, we've received the light. We've opened ourselves to the light . Two responses for us this morning. You can open your eyes now. I'm sorry. Such a spiritual group. Obviously, influence of Pastor Jeff. Obviously. Can I just encourage you this morning as we begin to go through Advent? I've pastored long enough. I know how busy our world's become. And we can be so distracted by all the events that we can just lose sight of the Advent. So may your heart be open to realize that He came, and He came for us. So the first response is to go, wow. 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 I love Christmas morning. I love little kids when they open this gift and their eyes become big and they're overwhelmed. I still remember my niece years ago, decades ago, opening her pound puppy for me and Pam, and she could hardly breathe. It's a stuffed dog in a cardboard box. But she was overwhelmed by this gift. Oh, church, I'm going to be 54 this month. So I've experienced 54 Christmases. I know the story. I know the routine. But may there be something in each one of our hearts this year that goes, wow. The light, the true light that gives light to everyone has come into our world. And as you rejoice in it, it's our privilege to become an advertisement, not for Black Friday, not for Boxing Day. But may you and I become an advertisement. May we be like John. Each one of us are men and women sent from God, not to be the light. You can't save anybody, but you can bear witness to the one who came. The man who came to save and to heal and to change everything. So Eagle Mount Christian Church, let's be men and women sent by God, and let's bear witness. God bless you this morning.